A brief charge. Not too brief, but a brief charge. I was saying to Lydia Cagle this morning, I just speak as a man. God in his providence has designed it all. But I wish I could take what I have learned through the years and then go back with what I now know and be about your age. But second best is to listen to those saints around you who have a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience in the Christian life, to learn from them. And it's a real privilege, along with Jeff, to pastor you, to shepherd your souls. And I rather suspect that if I ask you in a year, what did I say, you probably are not going to be able to tell me. So I want you to repeat after me, serious Christianity. Will you do that? Serious Christianity. Now, you can remember that, right? Because that's what I want to speak with you about for a few moments. In Acts 14, verse 22, we read, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." And you may say that's an unusual text to take for an evening such as this, but it's really not. If we believe in serious Christianity, it is just the sort of text that we ought to think through. Now, in this chapter, and I will not read it all, chapter 14 of the book of Acts, you might read it yourself later, Paul is confronting idolatry. Our world is not much different than the ancient world. You'll recall that Calvin, in his famous Institutes, compares the heart to an idol factory. And so, in every one of us, there is, by nature, this idol factory that continues to stamp out idol after idol after idol. And though we've come to faith in Christ, yet it is the idolatry of the heart with which we will continue to struggle. Idolatry continues to tempt the Christian. And so beware of idolatry in the realm of ideas. Many of you are going on to higher education. You're going to be exposed to all sorts of thoughts and ideas, some of which you've been exposed to and some of which you've not. Those, for example, who think that scientific theories are somehow neutral and tempt you away from what the scriptures teach. The idolatry in the realm of ideas. Beware of worshiping according to your own dictates, which is a huge issue in the church today. Beware of man worship. Isaiah 42:8, God says, "My glory I will not give to another." It may be a young man or a young woman that comes into your life that needs to be kept in a proper place, under, subordinate to God and who he is and his character. Beware of man worship. Beware of ingratitude. That's idolatry, you know. As a matter of fact, it's the very essence of idolatry. John Owen, the Puritan, said, "The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him, is not to believe that he loves you." Ingratitude. And so the warning that I think we can take from this chapter as Paul the Apostle confronts idolatry is this warning. Beware of anything that has the golden calf in it. Beware of anything that tempts you away from God, away from truth, away from Christ, to idols of the heart. Ask yourselves the question, what do I love? Who is it that I love? What grips my soul? What possesses my heart? The gospel has come to forgive us our sins, but also to turn us from idolatry. Do you remember how Paul the Apostle puts that in 1 Thessalonians? How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Now, having said that, in this context then of idolatry, we have this verse. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Because you are spiritually alive, the spiritually dead will oppose you as you stand for the cause of God and truth. This is always the case, and this calls for what is increasingly rare in the church today, and that is serious Christianity. And so here's the charge. Several components, but the overall impression that I want you to take away is it's a call to serious Christianity. Here then is your charge. I charge you to take your faith seriously. I charge you not to play games, little by little allowing compromise into your lives. 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. Don't allow small compromises to come into your lives as you go off to college or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that will take you away from Jesus. I charge you not to sail under false colors, but to be consistent inside and out. In other words, I'm charging you not to allow hypocrisy to enter into your hearts. Your faith is based on history. It is based on facts. And once you have gotten away from that history and away from those facts, away from what God has revealed in His Word, in other words, then you have gotten away from reality. And you will see hypocrisy ruling your heart. I charge you to keep a clear conscience. And this is so very important. That's the point of the text this morning, isn't it? My little children, I write these things to you so that you sin not. But if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And so keep a clear conscience. Go to Jesus every day. Learn every day how to believe, how to repent, how to find cleansing in His precious blood. I charge you to be consistent in your communion with God. And this is not something that you do alone. This is something you do alone, but you also do with others in His church. You need word. You need sacrament. You need prayer. You need the community and fellowship of other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're not called to go it alone. And so wherever you are, do the very best you can to find a solid biblical church that takes Christianity seriously. And learn to commune with God deeply and consistently. I charge you to take your stand on the infallible Word, God's Word without error. No matter what is taught to you otherwise, no matter what you might think, and even when sometimes you don't know how to give the answer that you might like to give, take your stand on the Word. Just know that it's true. Believe it. Obey it. Follow it. Learn to understand it better. I remember George W. Truett saying this little story that I recall, that there were some Christian girls in the midst of a large crowd of people, and the infidel was deriding Christ, deriding the precious blood of Jesus, deriding the Christian faith, and these precious little girls didn't know how to give a testimony except this. They stood where the infidel had stood, and they sang, to Jesus, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. And that crowd that had been subdued by the infidel was now subdued by the courageous witness of these Christian girls. That's all they could do, but it was enough. God used their witness. Take your stand on the Word of God. I charge you to endure persecution for the cross faithfully, which is going to happen more and more in our own culture. It's already happening, especially under the name of tolerance, and many of you will come across that in universities across the land. The world will misunderstand your motives. The world will misunderstand your actions. Because they did not understand the world, did not understand Christ, they will not understand you. The world knew Him not, and the world knows Him not, and so they don't understand His followers either. That's all right. Just be faithful and take your stand. I charge you to keep grounded in those things that will never change. And let me recommend this to you. I cannot tell you how many times in my Christian life when I've been tempted, when I've been tried, when I've been sorrowful, when I have felt overwhelmed with pain or with need or with concern for others, that I've gone to the shorter catechism and I've remembered question and answer number 4. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And I have rested upon the character of God and have remembered that in Christ, that is the God who is for me. And so I challenge you, Rest your life on those eternal verities, the character of God, those things that never, never change. And I charge you to live life every day in view of eternity. If you every day will get up and train your mind to think in view of the coming of Christ, the judgment to come, and eternity, then you will find that it completely transforms how you live and how you function and your relationships and how you think and how you act. I charge you to beware of anything or anyone, even calling itself or themselves Christian, to beware of anything that takes you away from these realities with which I've charged you this evening. My young sheep, I call you to serious Christianity. Serious Christianity in a world of foolishness. Amidst a modern church that is more influenced by the world than it is by this book, I charge you to be serious about your faith. May the Lord bless you and keep you and guide you, and may you be faithful in response to his grace in your lives. Amen.